How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, we are live, or at least it looks like we're live. I haven't done one of these Facebook Lives in a while, but welcome everybody to Locked On Lakers. I'm your host, Harrison Fagan. Not joining me tonight is my normal co-host, Anthony Irwin. He is out tonight at some type of ice cream parlor opening of some kind, so I'm here giving you guys a bonus Facebook Live show. Normally, Anthony and I just do five shows a week, but we're doing a bonus Saturday edition to round up my thoughts on the Lakers game tonight. The Lakers lost 101 to, I really should have had this prepared, but it was 101 to 97 to the Denver Nuggets. And I think, Adrian, I see you commenting. I think they showed a lot of good things tonight. But I mean, unfortunately, they lost 101 to 97, but they blew their lead at the end there with kind of an all bench unit playing. And before I get into that, I just want to, as a reminder, you can find our regular shows on iTunes, Stitcher, Silver Screen and Roll, and Today's Fast Break. Subscribe and leave reviews if you don't mind. And remember to use the promo code LOLAKERS on SeatGeek for a $20 rebate off your first ticketing purchase. So let's get right into it. I think the big takeaway from, Eric, I see you saying the defense was strong. I also thought so. I think they did a great job getting their kind of, there was a lot of length on the floor tonight, and they did a good job getting their arms in passing lanes, getting deflections, and that kind of fueled them getting out and running in that second and third quarter when they really ran away from the Nuggets before they kind of, they threw in the bench warmers, a bunch of guys that may not make the team, and E.G. Onleon, who I guess is a little bit more in jeopardy the way he's been playing, but will still, I think, ultimately make the team. But the game was good. The defense was good. I thought they really got out and ran. And I think Russell was a lot better than he was in that first game. He still ended up getting four turnovers, which is a little sloppier than you'd probably like, but that's kind of par for the course with a really young guard. So that kind of thing is going to happen. But I thought he was much more poised in this game than he was in the first one. He scored 21 points. I believe 19 of those came in the first half. Most of them in the second quarter when he kind of exploded from three-point range. I was really encouraged tonight by the way that he kind of was able to use not just on-the-ball stuff to get... He wasn't just dribbling to find his points. He did get a couple of them off of creating for himself, but there was that one play in the second quarter when he ran backdoor across the baseline out to the corner three and got a corner three just by kind of working for it. And that's the kind of thing that... Russell isn't that yet. He most likely won't ever be Steph Curry, but that's the type of thing that Steph Curry does that makes him so dangerous, is he's really good with the ball in his hands, but he is also really, really aggressive in hunting shots when he doesn't have the ball. And that was, I think we saw that from Russell tonight, and I was pretty impressed with that. I think additionally impressive was Randle was a lot better tonight than he was in that first game, when I think a lot of us were talking about, well, is Larry Nance Jr. maybe going to start sooner than we thought, or are the Lakers going to have to try him out there if this continues to go so badly for Randle? But Randle was a lot better. He was more efficient scoring, only 6 points, 3 of 5 from the field. But what I thought was a lot better tonight was his passing, and not just assists. He got three assists, but I just thought that he had a lot of really great passes. One of those assists was towards the end of the first half. He hit Lakers fan favorite, who we'll get to here in a minute, Ivica Zubac, for a dunk. And you know, I just thought his playmaking and his decision making was a lot better tonight. I was also impressed that Randle managed to finish with his right hand tonight. And I thought it was funny that he, after he finished it, he was shaking his hand, running back up the court, like looking at it, because it was almost like he couldn't believe, even he couldn't believe that he had scored with his offhand. And that's been a major criticism for him, so that was good. It was good. I think he missed his only three-pointer of the night. I'm looking at, yeah, he missed his only three, but he looked confident taking it, and I think that's going to be half the battle for him, is just getting that confidence in his jumper. He didn't look like he hesitated, which is good. So, you know, I think all of those are positives for the young guys. Clarkson, again, was impressive. I think he was probably the most impressive player of any of them in the first half. And or I guess aside from Russell maybe, but he continues to look pretty good off the bench. It's a little weird that he and D'Angelo Russell are not playing that much together yet, but I'm sure that that's something that we'll start to see more of as the preseason goes on. Or maybe, I guess, Walton's going to stagger them a little bit more this year. I don't know. I guess it's only two preseason games, so it's hard to draw definitive conclusions. I see Charles Cree McCook. Time for Harrison's hot takes with these silly starting lineups. I don't think it's much of a hot take to say that Meta World Peace should not be starting in 2016, but I guess the hot take you would grab from that is I could yell about firing Luke, but I didn't have enough time to prepare for that kind of fire. So you guys may have to get that on Monday. If you subscribe to the show, you'll get my hot take about that on Monday, maybe. So I see Martin's Ernest saying Brandon got to get more playing time. Brandon Ingram scored his first points of the Lakers preseason tonight. So if you were calling him a bust after seven, or I guess he got his first basket. He had scored on a free throw before, but he got his first basket of the Lakers preseason tonight when he got a dunk, and then he ended up banking in a three later. So if you wanted to call him a bust after 3 quarters of preseason or 7 quarters of preseason basketball, then it's not quite time for that yet. He actually can make a success. He can make a shot at the NBA level, and I've been blown away with his defense so far. He's obviously not perfect. He's gonna get pushed around when he guards bigger guys, but overall, I just think the way that he's leveraged his length has been incredibly impressive. Even more so, I think, in the first preseason game than tonight. But tonight, I still think he was very good on that end. And so, you know, he was really good. That was a solid takeaway. I guess another takeaway would be Anthony Brown shooting came back to earth after he went 4 of 5 the other night. He went 1 of 5 tonight, which isn't great. But I guess part of that is because he was asked to be the go-to guy a little bit in that closing unit. And that closing unit was just really, really bad. I think I tweeted it towards the end of the game, but there are babies born that learn how to walk in the time between E.G. Onleon catching the ball and shooting it. So you know, not impressed. I know a lot of people are very high on Yi. A lot of smart people think that he's a pretty good player, including my colleague at Silver Screen Roll, Ben Rosales. But I just don't see it with Yi. I watched him in the Olympics. I wasn't really blown away. His production to me screamed kind of, somebody has to score, best guy on a really, really bad team for China. And I just, from what I've seen from him so far over these two preseason games, I'm just not a fan. Now, again, it's two preseason games. As he starts to get more comfortable in the system, maybe becomes a little. With what I've seen from Tarik Black so far, even if E's contract is really advantageous for trades and those type of things, because the Lakers could send him out as $8 million in salary without, but the other team would only have to pay him a couple hundred thousand. So that would be helpful for the Lakers if they're trying to take on salary in a trade. But with E, I just don't see him being a positive contributor, especially with how well Tarik Black has played through two games. I think if I mean maybe the Lakers keep E as kind of insurance, but I think Tarik Black so far is definitely winning the backup center job. I just don't see any way that you could not give it to him. And so I see Eric Flynn. Tarik Black is the number two. Zubats spend time in the D League. Zubats probably will spend time in the D League. I hope he spends a little bit of time in the D League. I think that would be good for him, and I'd be excited to cover him with the defenders. I think that he'd get a lot of minutes down there. Martins, you're right. And I think I'd like to see him play a little bit more as the preseason goes on, but he got a couple minutes tonight. Let me see, how many minutes did Zubats end up finishing with? He ended up with 3 minutes at the end of the first half, but I'm going to go ahead and say they were the most impactful 3 minutes. It may, if not in Lakers history, then at least in Lakers preseason history. He came in, he scored 2 points on one of two shooting, and he had two blocks, and he had the crowd rocking, and everybody was really excited, and I think he kind of blew up Lakers Twitter. It was the closest I think I've seen Twitter to crashing since Kobe Bryant's last game. So good stuff from Zubats. I like I said earlier, I liked Randle finding him on the break. That was pretty great. So I think, obviously Zubats has potential. We keep hearing about how he's working on the skyhook. I think he has the potential to be really good. I just think it's going to be a little bit before he's ready to play impactful NBA minutes. So I think I don't think that he's going to start out the regular season playing very much, but maybe by the second half of the year, he's going to start getting his time. And I see you, Dominic Sawyers, you're agreeing with me saying the same thing. You think you could see a couple injuries and Zubats gets in the game. And I could definitely see it working out like that, similarly to Clarkson. So I saw someone had a question here. Adrian Urieta, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. You said, hopefully they sign Jacobs to the Defenders. And the good news, well, the way that that works is if they cut Jacobs, then they have his D-League rights. So if he decides to go the D-League route, because I don't see any scenario where he actually makes the roster, but if he decides to go the D-League route after the Lakers cut him, then he ends up on, then he would be, the Defenders would have his rights. And I liked his athleticism tonight. I think he has some potential. He seems like a really nice guy from my couple interactions with him the other night at the Lakers game. And so I think he could be a good get for the Defenders. He's exactly kind of what you're looking for in a D-League point guard, like athletic, a little bit of a project. And so we'll see how that goes. I see Dub asking what I thought of Ingram tonight. I already said I thought his defense was really good, and I think, his shot and his scoring is going to have to come around a little bit, but everybody just has to kind of be patient with that because, again, he's 19 years old. It's going to take him a little bit to adjust. And I see Eric Flynn, Jacobs in August, and Zubats to the D League. Yep, I think all those guys, that's where they're most likely going to end up. I talked about Jacobs and Zubats a little bit. August, again, I don't believe. Yeah, August did not get in the game again tonight. So I see him as increasingly likely to be D League bound. So I think he'd be enough. He's the type of guy that you want on the Defenders because the D League is so fast paced. He's just an energy big, and he's going to have chances for success there, and you can kind of see what he can grow into. And so I see Charles Cree McCook. Why do you think Luke stuck with those fourth stringers, past and future D Leaguers, instead of maybe trying to win? Simple answer, it's the preseason. Longer answer, it's the preseason, so he's trying to get those guys minutes and get a look. I really don't think that they care very much about getting wins in the preseason, so I think he really just wanted to see what those guys could do under a little bit of quote-unquote pressure in the preseason. And I see Martin's Ernest. I like JC as the sixth man. He's looked really good so far. I'm not sure that Lou is the guy that you want to start over him. I don't know how much that really helps the starters, and so that's kind of my opposition to it, more so than Clarkson eventually coming off the bench, which it sounds like he's comfortable with and I think might be his best role going forward eventually. I just think that you want to get a little bit better of a fit in the starting lineup than Lou necessarily if you're going to go ahead and bench Clarkson. So we'll see if that role continues. My guess would be that he ends up in the starting lineup by the end of the preseason at some point, but I think they're going to try him in this role, and I guess we'll see how it goes. Dominic, I see you asking, Swaggy P got some tick tonight. Do you think he makes the roster? Front office confusing me with that one. I think they're confusing all of us with that one, but he hit a couple shots tonight. It's weird because his money's guaranteed. It looks like he kind of has a little bit of an inside track to make the roster unless they want to stretch him, which so far they haven't done yet. I guess they're seeing if they can get a little bit of value from either from him or for him in a trade. So I really don't know. I thought he was reasonably productive tonight. He went 2 of 3 from 3-point land. So I mean, he did young things, and I guess if he's going to be on the roster, that's kind of what you're looking for. So, you know, I think I guess I'll go ahead and end on the on this. I think most of the guys closing out that game at the end there are either not going to be on the roster or not play significant minutes. So anybody worried about the Lakers losing that game, I really don't think that it's that big of a deal. And as far as roster cuts, I think that we're going to get a better sense for that going through the preseason. I would say Ware and Jacobs and Robinson has been okay so far, but I don't think he ultimately cracks the roster. So I think Ware, Jacobs, Robinson, August, and then there'll be a fifth cut, and I guess maybe Meta World Peace, maybe Nick Young. I guess we'll see how it goes. But that's gonna do it for me today on this post game question and answer session. Let us know in the comments if you like this, if you want us to keep doing them. Let us know. Please subscribe to Locked On Lakers on iTunes. You can also find the show on Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. And remember to use the promo code LO Lakers for a $20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase from SeatGeek. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'll talk to you guys later.